Let's talk a little NFL, the draft coming up on Thursday. Man, a lot of intrigue about the draft and trades and signings and Gronkowski, what is happening. Bob Soucy, the voice of the New England Patriots, he's called a few victories in his time. He joins us right now. And Bob, it's an interesting offseason heading into the draft. Lots of excitement. I think it's safe to say the Patriots aren't trading up and getting one of those big four quarterbacks in the first round. I think that would be a safe guess. But if you had to pick right now, and without trading up or anything, is there a certain position you think the Patriots will be looking for to use with their first pick late in that first round?
Yeah, I do, guys, and it is good to be with you. And this is certainly a change for us here in New England in that there hasn't been a lot of excitement or intrigue about the draft for the Patriots in recent years. They didn't have the first-round pick 2 years ago because of the fallout of the Deflategate situation. And then last year they traded out of the first round with New Orleans well before the draft when they acquired Brandon Cooks. So here they are as a team that really hasn't had an impact player come in from the opening round of the draft in several years and really hasn't had a lot of success since 2013 in terms of retention of their higher picks. Dominic Easley was a first-rounder. It didn't work out after an injury-plagued career. And you look at Jamie Collins as a second-round pick, and they traded him, of course, a couple of years ago. So here they are with two picks in the first round. They've got five in the top 95 overall, and they have some issues to address. Bill Belichick kind of scoffs at the notion of a draft need, and the Patriots are always going to place value over need. But I think there are certainly positions that you look at for the Patriots coming off last year in particular on the defensive side, but also offensively in the wake of free agency, where you say if they find a guy who meets the value criteria that they've established, then that's a position where they're likely to draft somebody high, like a left tackle, for example, although this is not a class that is particularly strong in conventional thought at that particular position. But with Nate Solder now a New York Giant, the Patriots need a left tackle. You look at an impact player defensively, an off-the-ball linebacker, certainly a guy who can get to the quarterback and complement Trey Flowers on the defensive line. Those were two positions of need last year that really they couldn't fill during the course of the season. They went out and got a veteran like James Harrison, of course, at the end of the year, and they were exposed defensively by the Eagles. And I think also you look at the quarterback position, maybe the tight end spot as well. Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, of course, a lot of intrigue surrounding those guys and mystery. We expect to have them back for the Patriots, of course, Brady especially. But nonetheless, you know, you've got to have a quarterback to groom and be ready, just as Jimmy Garoppolo was. And unfortunately, Brady kind of outplayed the timetable there. But nonetheless, I think that's a particular position that the Patriots are going to look to fill, and maybe not even with just one pick. Maybe they draft a guy early and then try to get another guy late at a position like that. But you look at the tight end spot, you know, perhaps they're going to need somebody to eventually transition to anyway. If there's a guy that's available, again, like the kid from South Dakota State, Goddard, or Gesicki from Penn State, or Hayden Hurst from South Carolina, somebody who could be a movement tight end and eventually be groomed as a strong force in the blocking game, then I think that's a position that the Patriots would be attracted to.
Bob, you touch on all the picks that they have early in the draft. Do you think there'd be a move where Bill Belichick gets a little bit bold and packages someone up to move up and really add maybe a, you know, I don't like to use the word, but elite talent in the top 10?
I think that there's always possibility of that. You know, Belichick trades up, he trades down. He makes moves, and he's not afraid to navigate the draft board. And I think that's one of the things about this particular draft for the Patriots. Are all those assets in the early rounds. And it's not just the two picks in the first of 23 and 31, but it's the two picks in the second round, one of which they acquired in the Jimmy Garoppolo trade with San Francisco. That's been his MO throughout his tenure here, is to make deals, and he's not afraid to be bold with movement up or down. And I think you look at this year, for example, there are some guys, because of what's expected to be a run on quarterbacks in this draft early, there are some guys are going to slip, you know, maybe into that next 10 after the first 10, who are going to be potentially elite defensive players who could have a huge impact. Maybe they identify one of those guys and move up. If one of those quarterbacks slips, and I'm thinking even honestly of a guy like Lamar Jackson, they may not be able to get him at 23, but if he falls back from that 15 to 22 range, maybe they try to make a move up for a guy like that or somebody else. I'm more inclined to think that they're going to look for a quarterback in the second, third rounds. But again, with Belichick, I think unpredictability is the only predictability, and he is certainly a guy whose track record suggests that if he identifies a player that he likes that's on the Patriots board, and they have a smaller board than usual, and they also kind of prioritize their players on the draft board differently than most other teams. They don't have first-round grades, second-round grades, third-round grades. They kind of identify, okay, who's 1 through 75, for example, best players in this draft for us. And, you know, it could be a left tackle. It could be a defensive end. Who knows? It could be a quarterback.
Bob Soucy joins us from New England. Now, Gronkowski, there have been all these reports, always retiring. You know him quite well. You deal with him lots. What do you think the expectations is? Is he a guy that's going to play three, four more years, or is he that banged up and he's thinking about maybe taking on a superhero role in the movies in the near future?
Well, I will say this. I thought initially around the time of the Super Bowl and shortly thereafter that Gronk entertaining the notion of the possibility of stepping aside of the game wasn't all that far-fetched. And this is a guy who's had numerous surgeries on his back alone. Of course, was coming off a head injury in the AFC Championship game. And considering what we know now about the long-term effects of football, in particular on the brain with brain injuries and concussions and such, I can't fool any player in his late 20s, early 30s, who says, you know, I'm contemplating stepping away from the game and considering his long-term health. As the offseason has waned on, and in particular in the last couple of weeks, I think the notion of Gronk heading out into retirement, into the sunset, has become, I think, less and less a possibility. And what has become apparent, if not obvious, is that Gronk has been angling for a new contract, hasn't been happy with the situation. There's been a lot written about the situation with Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's personal trainer. Gronkowski is now a guy that has really, I think, sworn by Guerrero and his methods. And neither one of them was there for the first week of the opening phase of off-season conditioning, voluntary conditioning. A lot has been reported about Gronk's displeasure, dissatisfaction with the way last season went, in a lot of respects, including the fact that by the end of the season, Guerrero was no longer allowed inside the Patriots' facilities in the locker room, at least. It didn't travel with the team. All that being said, though, I expect him to play. Maybe not 100% as a Patriot. I don't know where that percentage is right now, especially after a press conference that he held for a sponsored event over the weekend, where I thought he didn't present a very good look, just steps away from where his teammates have been working out the week before. It was a little bit of tomfoolery, to put it mildly. But nonetheless, I still think Gronkowski is going to play. I still think the odds are he's going to play as a Patriot. But as I said earlier with Belichick in the draft, I don't think you ever take anything for granted when it comes to the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
I got one last one for you. You touched on the replacement needed at some point for Tom Brady, and one name that's been linked is Lamar Jackson. And you kind of talked about getting a quarterback maybe in the second, third, or fourth round. I've been reading that he's a guy maybe on their radar. What do you see? Is he a guy that could learn under Tom Brady and, more importantly, the big coach, Belichick?
Well, for one thing, we don't know, of course, what aptitude he'd have for the NFL, or whether the inaccuracy at times is something the Patriots see as an incurable flaw in his game. I don't think that's the case in either one of those respects. Here's a guy that played at the University of Louisville in the Earhart Perkins system, or a variation of it, under Bobby Petrino. Petrino had been an assistant with Tom Coughlin years earlier in Jacksonville. It's the same base that really the Patriots offense has evolved from. The Earhart Perkins system goes back to when Ron Earhart and Ray Perkins were together in New England and then took it to New Jersey and the Giants with Bill Parcells coaching the New York Giants, and then eventually came back to New England with Charlie Weiss and the Patriots. Of course, it's evolved with Tom Brady runs as an evolution of it, and certainly is far more sophisticated and complicated and more tailored to Tom Brady's skills than in other places where the Earhart Perkins system is run. But nonetheless, it requires the quarterback to make checks at the line of scrimmage, to read progressions as a passer. I think Jackson is a dynamic talent. And I will say this with regards to that kind of a quarterback against the Patriots, for example. And I said this from a month ago on. When I consider what kind of quarterback has presented the most difficulty for Bill Belichick's defenses in recent years, it's been a quarterback like a Cam Newton or a Russell Wilson or a Deshaun Watson, for example, last year. The Patriots saw Watson twice in an extended opportunity during joint practices with the Texans for a week in the preseason. Then they saw him early in the regular season when he really had his coming out game and a close loss to the Pats. And so I think you see what he's done under Bill O'Brien, a former assistant to Belichick and the former Patriots offensive coordinator, and how O'Brien tailored that offense to Deshaun Watson, and understanding that Belichick, more than anybody, as great a defensive coach as he's been, understands the problems that a mobile quarterback, an athletic quarterback, presents for a defense. I certainly think there would be an openness if Lamar Jackson became available to them. And again, taking into account that they may have another player who they value more highly at defensive end or linebacker, a different position. But I think if Jackson is available to them, I think it's a strong consideration that they might look for a guy like that.
Bob, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the draft. Sounds like it could be one of the most trade-filled first rounds in NFL history. We'll see if it transpires.
Well, it certainly will be if it follows suit in the offseason thus far. It's been really an interesting and active offseason, especially since the free agency period, and we expect no different here in New England, that's for sure.